Mishnah Yud Beis, Hillel v'Shammai Kiblu Mehem. So Hillel and Shammai got the Torah from Shammai and Naphtaliyahu. Hillel Oimer, Hillel says, Hevi mitalmidav shel Aaron, be the students of Aaron HaKohen, Oyev Shalom, love peace, for Raidev Shalom, and chase after peace, Oyev Esabriyos, Mekarvan LaTaira, love all the creatures and bring them close to the Torah. So obviously, we are all familiar with the famous Hillel and Shammai, who would eventually lead the two different yeshivas, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The Gemara tells us that Hillel was a wood chopper and he would spend all day working and use half the money to feed his family and half the money to pay the entrance fee to the Beis HaMedrash. One day he didn't make enough money to enter the Beis Medrash, so he went up to the skylight to listen to the words of Shammai v'Atalion, and it started snowing. And Hillel didn't notice because he was so deeply engrossed in the words of the Torah. And the next morning, they saw this human figure on the skylight that had passed out, and they revived him, and they would know he would eventually become the great sage Hillel. The Gemara also tells us, right, that Hillel himself became the Nasi. He had moved up from Bavel, and the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that they were unsure whether to bring a Karban Pesach, an Erev Pesach Shechal Eretz B'Shabbos. Now you might ask, how did no one remember what they did the year before? This was a fabulous question, which was not understood until they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they realized that the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, had a calendar that was divisible by seven. And they could have been in power for many years in the second Beis HaMikdash. So it's quite possible that you had a run of 70, 80 years where Erev Pesach did not fall out on Shabbos. But when it did fall out on Shabbos, they had this question and no one knew the answer. But Hillel, who had returned from Bavel, said that you do bring the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. There's a din of B'mayadai, Afilu B'Shabbos, B'mayadai, Afilu B'Tuma. But then they asked him, what about the knife? Can you carry the knife? And then he didn't know, but he said the famous idea, Hanach Lahem Yisrael, trust the nation, Im'ena Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im Hem, meaning if they are not prophets, they are the children of prophets. That means their practices are so steeped in holiness that whatever they do, we can rely on. Finally, we have the famous Gemara in Shabbos that says, La'aylam yehei anvesam kil. The Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Amud Aleph, tells us that you should always be humble like Hillel. And the Gemara brings a story of two people who had a bet, and the 400 is bet about whether you could get Hillel to be angry. So the one who was on the side of angering Hillel called him out Friday while he was preparing for Shabbos and asked him a pretty ridiculous question. And Hillel answered patiently and humbly. And he waited a few minutes and then he did it again. And he kept doing it and he tried to fluster and anger Hillel. And Hillel would never get angry. The Gemara continues and tells the story of three converts who first approached Shammai for conditional conversion. And Shammai chased them away. And then Hillel accepted them. One convert said, I want to convert only to learn Torah Shabbat Sav and not Torah Shabbat Peh. The other one said, I only want to convert if I could become a Kohen Gadol. And one of them said, teach me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot. Shammai said, this is ludicrous. We're not looking for converts, certainly not conditional converts. Well, Hillel took the time and patience to deal with each one. And they all ended up praising Hillel, how Hillel's calmness and patience and humility brought them under the web of the Shechina. Now, I just want to point out what the one sentence Hillel says that I'll teach you the Torah while standing on one foot is don't do to anyone else that which you don't want it done to yourself, right? I always call it the Hillel rule. Whenever you're engaged in spirituality, does this follow the Hillel rule? Hillel encapsulated the entire Torah. The entire Torah is v'ahavta l'rachah kamaycha, love your fellow like yourself. Again, he expressed it in different words, but don't do to someone else what you wouldn't want done to yourself. So many times, maybe perhaps someone is giving mussar or screaming at somebody for someone else. Just think for a second, does this follow the Hillel rule? Hillel says all of the Torah can be in this sentence, so every individual practice also has to be consistent with this sentence. Now, Hillel's statement in this Mishnah is, Hevi mi talmidav shel Aaron, be the students of Aaron. Now, really, this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin dav vav amud beis. The Gemara over there is discussing whether or not, when people come to Beis Din, should Beis Din engage in pshara or din? Din would be to adjudicate and see who's right and see who's wrong. But there's another option where Beis Din can try and get them to mediate, right? And to come up with an agreement outside the realm of din. Meaning, even though halachically probably one's right and one's wrong, but can they come to an agreement which is a win-win where they both feel like they got what they wanted. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yikov Adin HaSahar, let the din pierce through the mountain. There's right and there's wrong. But Aaron says, look, we're in a human world. There's doubt. We don't always know what's right and what's wrong. Let's try to come to an agreement. You should always go with Pshara. And that's where the Gemara quotes this. He's Ayiv Shalom V'Roidev Shalom, Ayiv Esabriyas U'Mekarvan L'Torah. Now, Aaron's role amongst the many is to bring about peace, right? The Kohanim. Aaron is Aaron HaKohen. The Kohanim bring peace between Klal Yisrael and their Father in Heaven. When someone sins and there's some sort of distance and some sort of fragmentation between the Jew and God, his role is to bring a karban to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen serves as a conduit to bring him back closer, right? Similarly, when there is a dispute between man and his wife with a potential saita, you bring to the Kohen to bring back the peace. And a Kohen also has the role of blessing Klal Yisrael. It's unique. We should point out that the blessing that the Kohanim make when they're doing Birchas Kohanim is the only bracha we make, be'ava. L'varech es Yisrael, es ama Yisrael be'ahava. We don't make a bracha to shake a little ba'ava. Specifically, when it comes to blessing, when you are being gregarious and benevolent, you do it ba'ava. The point being, the more love you have for someone else, the higher blessing you can bestow, right? If you hate somebody and you say, bless your heart, in that southern charm, you really mean the opposite of bless your heart. So when Aaron and the Kohanim give the bracha, Varechas Ami Yisrael bi'ava, the greater love they have for Klal Yisrael, the greater the potency of the blessing. The truth is, I once saw from Chassidus Rebbe, he asked that Bilam, we know, didn't want to bless Klal Yisrael. Bilam wanted to do the opposite. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the words of bracha in his mouth. But if the person's intent is not to bless someone, and again, in our example, where you say, bless your heart in the sarcastic tone, it has no bracha. So how could Bilam's bracha have any potency if he didn't want to give Klal Yisrael a bracha? So the answer he gave, and again, I forgot exactly where I saw it, was that you're right, that Bilam's bracha had no potency, but we put the potency into that bracha when we say it. The words are words of bracha. Bilam didn't put any potency. When we learned the Torah, we put the potency into the words. That's a Gevalah good teretz. But I want to suggest a different teretz, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Eina chanami, kulun chazru l'ra. All the brachas of Bilam did not have potency. Kulun chazru l'ra, chutz mi matay v'ayelecha yakir. Now, what was different about matay v'ayelecha yakir? So if you look closely at the psukim by Bilam, the first time and the second time, he went out to seek Hashem and he wanted to curse. But by the third time, he had been so angry at Balak, it says, l'ayholach kepam v'pam, v'atihi alav roch elekim, that the third time, he actually, for one second, had his Sayyidah's tshuva. Again, it was generated by his anger at Balak. But at that moment, he didn't look to curse the Jews. He looked to give them a bracha. And for that moment, the first bracha out of his mouth was Matay Voyalach Yaakov. So that was the only one that had any potency. Finally, Hill concludes, Oyeves Habriyas U'Mekarvan L'Torah. You love creatures and you bring them closer to Torah. It's quite obvious that you're not going to bring anyone closer to the Torah by screaming at them. It's just not an effective tool. Look at Chabad and how they engage in Kirov. It's just by loving every Jew. And I would add that Avram Avinu, whose Midah is Chesed, right? Look how it rubs off. The Rashi and Chumash tells us that his father, Terach, eventually did Tshuva. Right? Terach was Avid Avid Zar. But Hashem promises Avram that when you die, I'll bring you to Kever Avos. Why would you want to be with Kever Avos? It must be Terach the Tshuva. And similarly, we find by Yishmael that when it came to bearing Avram, Yishmael let Yitzhak go before him. And to the point where Rashi says it must be that Yishmael did tshuva. So where Avram, where his midah was chesed, was loving kindness, everyone exposed to him, right, would end up doing tshuva. As opposed to Yitzhak, again, Yitzhak's midah is gvura, so he does produce a Yaakov, but Esav never does tshuva. Esav is the epitome of someone who does not do tshuva. So whenever you want to be mekarv brias l'tayra, the only way to do it is ayeves abrias. If you take the midah of Aaron HaKohen and you just love everyone and meet them where they are, then you have a chance of being mekarv on l'tayra.